gather this morning in the season of Advent, let us prepare our hearts to worship our Savior this morning. Thank you, Jay, and thank you, Bert, as we begin our time of worship this day. It's good to gather in the Lord's house. Amen?
Amen.
Especially since it's dry in here, not wet outside. We definitely needed the rain, but I don't think we need it in buckets full like we're getting right now. So enjoy the rain as it falls on the roof in here. It makes a nice, joyful sound. Thank you for joining us for worship this morning on the first Sunday in the season of Advent. We pray that this season of waiting, and that's what Advent is about. It is a season of waiting for the celebration of Christ's birth. It will be a time that you'll draw closer to God. You'll draw closer to one another here at First Baptist Elon, and that we will take this season of hope out into our community. For those that are joining us this morning by Facebook Live, thank you for joining us with your friends and family. If you want to, you can go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org and there pull up the worship bulletin for today. Those that are gathered in our sanctuary this morning already have that resource, and I encourage you not to just use it on Sunday morning for this worship hour, but to use it for the entire week, because it has opportunities that come, opportunities to pray for, many things that you could be participating in the coming weeks. Now, looking at your bulletin this morning, you will notice there are no evening activities tonight. Enjoy more time with your friends and family. But next Sunday, we will be back to our normal evening schedule. This week, however, we have back to our normal schedule with choir rehearsal on Wednesday night and our virtual Bible study taking place on Thursday night at 6:30 p.m. on Facebook Live. That is the study, Not a Silent Night. So I encourage you to join me online for that study. A week from this Tuesday, our senior adults will be traveling to the Southern Supreme Fruitcake Factory. If you are interested in going, there are sign-up sheets all over the church, Sunday school classrooms, one in the foyer, one in the communication center. If you're planning on going, make sure you sign up. We want to make sure we have enough room on the bus, or if we have to choose additional drivers for that trip. So please come and sign up if you're planning on going. Our collection for the Elon Reading Day, for their study day, which is this coming Friday for the for Elon University, our collection is going well. We want to say thank you. We've got a lot of chips. We've got a lot of popcorn. So if you haven't picked something up and you still want to pick something up, don't pick up chips and popcorn. We got enough. We need some other things like candy or fruit. So if you want to bring those items by the church, make sure you have them here by Thursday. It's Thursday around noon. We just want to make sure we get everything in before the bags are put together. Next Sunday morning, our mission focus will be the Salvation Army, a group that we partner with every Christmas season. Many of you chose an angel off the tree out in the foyer. Thank you for that. And I want to remind you, those gifts are due back that Sunday. Next Sunday, bring them and place them out underneath the table in the foyer. Some of the other collections that we're doing for Salvation Army, we're doing our what we used to call our toy collection, but this year it's for the forgotten angels. These are the individuals in Salvation Army that don't get chosen at Christmas time. And so we try to collect items to give them to help brighten their Christmas time. Some of the items that are needed are listed on the back of your bulletin. You will notice it's not a lot of baby or little toddler items. And the reason why is because most of the time the forgotten angels are older adolescents or early teens. So if you haven't picked something up yet, swing by and pick some of those items up, one or two of them. When will you come next Sunday? You can drop them off right under here, underneath our Christmas tree. Also, we'll have a time during the service that maybe you can come forward and place them up there. But that's where the forgotten angels are going, gifts are going. The other option is to support the senior adults that Salvation Army supports. We're collecting $40 gift cards to Walmart. If you would like to pick one of those up, you can drop them off up here next Sunday or by the office. Or you can also just make a contribution. If you don't want to, if you can't do 40 and you want to do 20, you can make that contribution to the church, and we'll make sure that's turned around for the gift cards for the senior adults. So that's lots of things going on in the next week. Many other things are coming. Make sure you look at the November newsletter. If you do not get one, you can pick one up as you leave this morning. It is a good day to gather. Many of us got to spend time with family and friends over the last couple of days. Gabe's family is with us over here, and we look forward to for her sister to participate in worship in just a little bit, singing for us. It is a good day to be in God's house. Let us prepare ourselves with praise to our Heavenly Father. Father, and may we experience the hope that is found in Him.
Don't go to sleep this morning with that rain hitting that den. Let's stand and let's sing Emmanuel. Let's worship together.
Emmanuel, Emmanuel, in His name is born.
be seated.
Thank God was adding his little bit to the music this morning by the rain. Such a blessing. This morning our opening scripture reading comes from the prophet Isaiah, reading chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. This is what Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountains of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many people will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, flirting. Apologize. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. As we gather here on this day, we can know that hundreds and thousands of years before Christ came, they were speaking of his coming. That's what we're waiting on. That's what we're anticipating. Just as the Jewish people were waiting for the Messiah, we are called to wait in the season of Advent. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Oh God, beyond time, we are an impatient people. As the days grow shorter and the darkness longer, teach us to wait with faithful expectation. In this time of worship, open our eyes and our hearts to the Advent blessings in our midst. May every day be a day of hope for your compassion and grace through the guidance of your Spirit. Lead each one of us in the pathways that make for peace. In the name of Emmanuel, God with us, we pray. Amen.
This is the first Sunday in Advent. Today we light one purple candle. This is the candle of hope. Advent is a time of waiting and a time of hoping. We wait for the day when we celebrate again the birth of Jesus. We hope that everyone will come to know God and to worship God.
Let's sing, "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus." Just stay sitting.
Free from our fears and sins, free we are.
promise to send the Savior to the people. When we listen to our scripture reading, we hear what the prophet Isaiah wrote about God. God is the potter who molds us. We know that the gospel witness is one that helps us understand that God is loving and just. God brings peace. This gives us hope. We anticipate again the birth of the baby Jesus, remembering that Jesus helps us know God's love for us. Isaiah 64:8. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Our prayer is, Dear God, thank you for your Son, Jesus. Thank you for the words of the prophet Isaiah that remind us that you are the source of our hope. Help us to live each day, allowing you to form us in a way that brings about your kingdom here on earth. Amen.
Thank you, Nancy and April, for that reading this morning. Our offertory hymn this morning is a very familiar carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Let's stand and sing together.
Would you pray with me this morning? Gracious God, as we bring our gifts to you this day, we bring much more than earthly treasure we bring our very lives. Transform us through our giving, that we may grow even closer to you. Help us share your hope and love with others as joyfully and generously as you have shared your gifts with us. In your holy name we pray this morning. Amen.
Well, as David said earlier, most of my family is sitting over here on my right on the front pew. And it's been since 2018 when my mother passed away that we've all been together. And what a joy and what a privilege it has been this weekend to have my family and Jerry's family with us. My sister's the oldest of the two girls. Her name is Cindy. And so I am the baby, so that's why I'm spoiled. but it is a pleasure to introduce to you my sister, Cindy Willis.
Y'all, Miss Bert and I, we're gonna do All Is Well.
Thank you, Cindy. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we are waiting. And we will continue to wait until hope and peace and joy and love blanket our world. We come to you this day knowing the frustrations and the anger that exists this time. But Father, we know one secret, and that is your love is greater. And that's where we return. That's why we wait for the birth of the Christ child. We lift this prayer in the name of the one who came and changed the world, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Again, let me say good morning. This is one of those mornings that you're not sure if you want to get out of bed, right? I wasn't sure how many were going to be here for worship this day, and saw the numbers were slower coming in today, and I thought, man, we may be preaching to 10 people today. But amen. Thank you for coming out in this wet weather. It's good to gather in this season of Advent, and this is the first Sunday of Advent, and many people think we're still in Thanksgiving. You are still in Thanksgiving, but the Christian church always celebrates the beginning of Advent, the first Sunday after Thanksgiving. Christmas is less than a month away. Can you believe that? Less than a month away. That may scare somebody. That's okay. And as I was thinking about what Christmas and the season of Advent means, and all the things that are wrapped up in this Christmas holiday, it got me asking one simple question. I wonder what Christmas means to different people. What does Christmas mean to other people? I know what Christmas means to me. And since we all live in a very similar community, I may understand what Christmas means to you. But what about other people? What about individuals that maybe we don't even know their names? What about the mother who's lost her husband, who must take care of several children, working every day, not quite getting everything done, never making ends meet? What does Christmas mean to her? What does Christmas mean to a little man in Zimbabwe, 80 years old, living in a hut, who knows nothing of shopping malls or Christmas trees? What does Christmas mean to him? What does it mean for the little Haitian child with smudges on his cheek, with a full life hopefully ahead of him? What does Christmas mean to him? What about the missionaries who are halfway around the world, away from family and friends, who are sacrificing so much more people? Many individuals will be able to understand the gospel message. What does Christmas mean to them? Now, I'm sure Christmas means different things to different people. We all know that. For merchants, it's the busiest time of year. And for them, it means the stores are wide open. The stocks, their stock is high. People are purchasing things. Extra employees are hired. And for some employees, it means maybe a Christmas bonus that will come if they work hard through the holiday season. A little bit more money in their pockets as they approach the needs of the day. For many teenagers and adults, Christmas is just a fun time of gathering, and multiple times, whether it be in school, whether it be with family, whether it be with friends. For children, it is a time of celebration. For younger children, it's a time of impatience, with time seemingly crawling to get to Christmas Day. Sometimes I get the feeling that we are all like the folks who decided to throw a party to honor a very special friend. They sent out invitations, decorated the hall, and had the food catered. All the people came together at the designated time, but to their surprise, the guest of honor was not there. Finally, they made the embarrassing discovery that no one had ever invited the guest of honor. I wonder if that happens at Christmas time. We get in the busyness of the holiday and we forget the reason for the season. Story goes, a family tried to overcome this problem by putting an extra place at their Christmas table for Jesus and called it his birthday party.
When one of their daughters was asked, "Did you get everything that you wanted for Christmas?" she answered by saying, "No, but then again, it's not my birthday. It's Jesus's." Do we go through all the parts of Christmas, buying gifts, decorating the tree, cooking an elaborate meal, but somehow forget that we have to spend time with the one the season is all about? It isn't our birthday, it's our Lord's birthday. It is a time to remember His birth, and that His birth led to the death on the cross, and that our sins and resurrection brings new life through Him, the one who came. Now, over the next couple weeks, we're going to take a close look at several famous Christmas carols in a sermon series titled Christmas Carol Theology. Now, Barry asked me how I spelled carol, and it's not like your last name. Only one R, only one L. This morning, we're going to look at some Christmas carols. This morning, we're going to look at one Christmas carol, but over this season, we're going to look at multiple Christmas carols that we all know the words to. We don't even look at the screen when we saw them. I was kind of paying attention. Who was looking up at the screen as we were singing Hark the Herald Angels Sing? Nobody was looking on the first verse. Maybe the second, third, but the first verse, no. We sing these songs. They start playing on the radio. We sing along with them, and it's just ingrained in us. We know these songs. We know that these songs are sung by many, but do we think about their biblical truths behind them? The problem is that we have sung the songs so much that we forgot the intent from the beginning. Hidden in the lyrics are the truths we need to know as we experience this Christmas season. Truths that will help us overcome the forgetfulness that often we carry into this year. Now, our first carol that we're going to look at this morning is one of my favorite carols. It's Hark the Herald Angels Sing. We just sang it just a few minutes ago. This carol challenges us to look at how God is intervening in the world, how He chose to intervene by sending His Son through a birth of the Christ child. This intervention was for everyone. It wasn't just for a select few. Even the shepherds out in the fields got to hear it. The carol is actually based on scripture reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 20 this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to that passage. The words will also be on the screen behind me. But let's read this passage that gave birth to Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Reading Luke chapter 2. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests.' When the angels had left them and had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." Now, we know that scripture passage. We're very familiar with that passage. Most people in America are familiar with that scripture that we just read, even if they rarely crack open their Bibles or even if they rarely show up to church during the Christmas time. These verses from Luke's gospel entered popular culture decades ago when Linus gave his famous speech at the Charlie Brown Christmas special. We remember that, right? Charlie goes to pick out a tree for the crew for their holiday party, for their Christmas party. But he couldn't find any massive tree. I was in the mountains this past week and we saw many cars going by with huge Christmas trees on the top of their car. But Charlie didn't find a tree like that. He found a tree with very few branches. And when he brought it back to the group's Christmas program, basically they mocked him for what he did. Typical Charlie Brown. This made Charlie Brown even more depressed and even more in despair. And he tells us that he does not know what the true meaning of Christmas is all about. Every December since 1965, in between the movies of Scrooge, Rudolph, and Frosty, we hear Linus recite the passage from Luke chapter 2. Powerful words. Powerful slip-in by Charles Schulz. Powerful to slide it in the midst of a Christmas special. So, what are the words? What is the theology of this hymn, this carol that we sing? We know the words, but what is it truly saying? Well, let's look at it. Samuel, pull up verse 1 for me on Hark the Herald Angels Sing. You see, as we look at these carols, the first stanza of this carol focuses on one simple thing. That was the announcement of Jesus' birth. First stanza is all about the announcement. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Well, first we must start with those heralds. The Bible teaches us that angels are real, and they serve as messengers for God. On our Sunday night study, we talked about this 2 weeks ago. Most of the time when angels are sent, they were messengers of God for some reason. And the same is true in this story. The Bible teaches us that angels are real. They serve as messengers, and what did they say? What were they coming to bring? A message that everyone needed to hear. Now, sometimes angels take on different appearances. Sometimes they show up in the sky. We never know how God is going to send them. Isaiah said they had six wings and six arms, based on his view and his prophecy. But no matter what we think, angels come as messengers. And they're usually agents of goodwill. In the Bible, angels are mentioned 273 times. 108 times in the Old Testament, 165 times in the New Testament. Their ultimate number is thousands upon thousands, we don't know, but according to Revelation, that's what it says. They can appear and disappear in just a moment, but on the night Jesus was born, an angel, and we don't know which angel it was, suddenly appeared to a group of sleepy shepherds tending their flock in the pasture. That had to have been such a spectacular night with the shepherds. The youth and I were talking about this in Sunday school this morning. Can you imagine what might have been going on in the shepherds' heads as soon as this angel appeared? Put yourself there. What would your response have been? But let's think about the angel's view of the thing. Though the angel was the messenger to the world that the birth of God's Son, our Savior, has been born, that's the message they take. But from the angel's perspective, isn't this a little underwhelming? Isn't this just not enough? I mean, he's carrying a message that's supposed to change the world. And where does God send him? To the fields to talk to the shepherds. What about the kings? What about the queens? What about the princesses? Why don't they get to hear about this message? No, God chose the angel to go to the shepherds. That's how God intervened in history. Think about that. Think about the power of that. God intervened in history by sending an angel to the shepherds. Usually a human father tries to find the most dramatic way possible to announce the birth of a child. If I had been God and my own son had been born, I would have, and I had all the resources to my disposal that God has, man, it would have had thunder over Bethlehem. There would have been fireworks going off in the distance, earth-shaking thunder, spectacular meteor showers, a lunar eclipse, volcanoes erupting. It would have been everything. But that's not what God chose. The Bible says God's ways are not our ways, and I am thankful for that. One of the attributes about God that we often don't talk about is His humbleness. He chose to announce the birth of His Son by an angel quietly slipping out to some shepherds guarding their sheep at nighttime. Compared to what could have been, that is a restrained notification, with the most impressive part of the announcement when the great company of the heavenly host. If it was me, I'd start with the great company, and then narrow it down to the single angel. The Bible does not say exactly how many angels were in the sky that night. We don't know. It could have been thousands upon thousands. God works in His ways. We don't know, but they were there. There is just something about that number, though. 1,000, let's say 1,000 angels to 10 shepherds. We don't know what the numbers are, but what we do know is this. He chose to intervene in such a humble, simple way. Not only was God humble in His announcement, but notice who He chose to receive the announcement. The shepherds, some of the lowest of the low. They were out in the fields tending their sheep because the city folk in Bethlehem did not want them in their city. Shepherds often had to leave their flocks outside the city gates. And when shepherds came in to the city of Bethlehem or any city, they were distanced from everybody else. Why? Because they smelled. They took care of animals. That's just natural. But they were dirty. They were not the most wealthy individuals of the world. So when they came in, it was simply to grab what they needed to go back in the fields to survive. Then this was the group that God decided to spread the message to. In a survey that took place about 5 or 6 years ago, individuals were asked, based on the Christmas story, which individual from that story do you most relate to? Lots of opportunities, lots of choices. You've seen a lot of them down in front of me this morning. A third of those questions said the shepherds. That they can identify with the shepherds. They were your average, ordinary, everyday working people, and they were invited to see the birth of the King of Kings. The announcement is made, but that's only stanza one. Samuel, pull up stanza two. The second stanza of Hark the Herald Angels Sings emphasizes who Jesus was. Christ by heaven, highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in times, behold Him come, offspring of the virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus our Emmanuel. The stanza focuses on Jesus' divine nature. Jesus is God. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word is Jesus. He has been here from the beginning. Divine in nature, divine in call. The carol teaches this, but the carol also teaches about Jesus' incarnation. The Father chose to send the Son in the form of a human child who would grow to be a man and ultimately save the world. This is incarnation, to experience life like we do. John 1:14 says, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. That's dwelling among the shepherds. That's dwelling among Mary and Joseph. That's dwelling among the wise men. That's dwelling among the highest kings and the lowest individuals. That's dwelling among us. You and me. Not just anybody. The second stanza also points towards and teaches Jesus' virgin birth. Isaiah 7:14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and we will call him Emmanuel." What a powerful and unexpected way to enter the world. First as a child, second through a virgin's womb. The second stanza also teaches about his humanity too. When Jesus came to earth, he felt the struggles and the pain that all humans do. He was tempted like we are tempted. He experienced the emotions that we experience. All of this just to say, he knows how you feel. How often does that statement comfort us? Someone's going through a difficult time and they step in and they say, "I know how you feel. I know how you feel." That's our God. That's Jesus the Christ. Standing there, sitting there saying, "I know how you feel." The second stanza of the carol also teaches about Jesus' atoning death. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Jesus' death was the atonement sacrifice that all humanity need. That's everyone. Nobody is excluded from this. The sacrifice was needed. Jesus stepped in our place. He took the pain and he took the ultimate death so that we do not have to worry about what happens when we die if we believe in him. Because he's gone to prepare a place for us. The second stanza also points to how Jesus did this through conquering death and his bodily resurrection. But that's just stanza two. Let's look at stanza three. The third and final stanza of "Hark the Herald Angels Sing" teaches us what Jesus does for us. "Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings. Risen with healing in his wings." First thing I notice is Jesus brings light. Jesus is the light of the world. Whoever follows him will never walk in darkness. The world, however, suggests that if you follow Jesus, you will be unenlightened by believing in myths of creation, the Bible, etc. But we must ask, what makes a person enlightened? What determines whether a person is intelligent or not? You probably have asked that at work sometimes before, right? Jesus sheds light on the most vital issues of life. His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Jesus is the light, but he also brings life. John 1:4 says, "In him was life, and that life was the light of man." The adversary will try and persuade you that if you follow Jesus, you will be repressed and bored and miserable. But Jesus brings light and life. He brings life, and the more you follow him, the more abundant your life will be. He brings healing as well. When we're down and hurting, discouraged on life, healing from the battle scars of sin in the world, Jesus brought that too, because he had the same scars when he walked this earth. Ultimately, it led to his victory over death. In closing this morning, a few years back, a cookbook was released for the holiday season. It wasn't one that you could download. You had to actually order it or go buy it at a local bookstore. But a cookbook was released for the holiday season. Thousands of copies were bought. Everybody wanted it. However, Just a few weeks later, after the cookbook had been released, there was an immediate recall on the book. Now, we've experienced recalls before. Food items may have gone bad, toss it out, or our automobile may have something that needs to be recalled or it needs to be changed to make sure it functions in the way that it's supposed to do. But a cookbook? Who recalls a cookbook? That seems a little silly. The cookbook was recalled because one of the recipes, and just one, had left out one important ingredient. The producers of the book realized that if individuals followed this one recipe and left out that one ingredient that needed to be there, that the ingredients that were put together could literally blow up in your face. And because of that hazard, the cookbook was recalled. I wonder how many kept that cookbook and tricked a neighbor or a family member. But that's not the point tonight. God has given us the recipe for life. God has given us the recipe for life. Whatever we want, hope, peace, love, joy, He provides it through His Son. But if you leave out some of those ingredients and you stick with the ingredients of the world, guess what? It can blow up in your face. Christmas is about God's ultimate intervention in history. God intervened in a way we never could have imagined. Intervention was necessary because of the sin of the world and the sin that we carry. But God loved us and made plans and preparations for this ultimate intervention. If you don't believe me this morning, just sing and really listen to the words of Hark the Herald, Angels Sing. Hark means pay attention. Something important has happened. It has. God has intervened in the world. Do you see it? Can you feel it? I hope you do. Let's pray. Father, we give you thanks that a world was in need of intervention and you intervened through your Son, Jesus the Christ. Boy, to be one of the shepherds out in the field, being able to witness that proclamation and being able to go and rush to the manger and then being able to go out and spread the word of who you were. Man, what amazing thing it would have been to be there that night. But we have the same experience every day that we experience your creation. And Father, because of that, we give you thanks. Because of that, we have hope. Because of that, we gather in your name. Father, if we're not feeling hopeful this time of year, may we turn to the words of Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And may we find the hope that you promise through that song. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. As we come to our time of closing this morning, maybe you were looking at Hark the Herald Angels Sing in a different way. Maybe you never realized that it was outlining who Jesus was, what He did for us, and how He intervened in the world. If you're realizing that for the first time, and you realize that He is the One, He is the Messiah, He is the Savior, He is Emmanuel, I encourage you to come forward down front. I'll be down front and welcome anyone who comes. If you are looking for a church home that's seeking to honor God in so many different ways, be a part of First Baptist Beeline. You can talk to me about it. We'll let you come back into the fold here at First Baptist. Or maybe you're just struggling. Maybe this season brings disappointment. Maybe this season brings some hurt and some pain. If that's the case, come down front. The altar's open. I'll be down front. Let's talk about it. Let's find hope that is found in this season. Let's stand and sing our closing hymn.
The Savior lives.
as you leave today, be like the shepherds who, after they experienced Jesus in the manger, they didn't just stay quiet and go back to the fields. They spread the message of the gospel truth. Do that today until you come back next Sunday. Go in peace.